Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, it's cold and rainy in Los Angeles, but this shall pass, I suppose.
Right. Well, it's actually sunny, not warm, but sunny here in London. So,
Not fair.
which, yes, both of them are, but I guess in LA, they still want rain, right?
Yeah, we do need the rain, but not too much of it because
That's nice.
The vegetation has been burnt out with the fire, and so we're more likely to get mud flows or flash flooding.
Right. Okay, cool. Well, hopefully everyone is safe
And dry.
and dry, yes. Okay, let's kind of dive in. Kind of had a fairly eventful week. Certainly around some economic data that came out. What are your big takeaways? Obviously some of these numbers between retail sales and CPI were somewhat away from consensus, but there also may be explanations and a temporary factor. So yeah, what's your kind of big takeaways this past week?
So, January always has residual seasonality. So you want to not look at just one or two. I mean, from a data print, from an economic perspective, obviously, from a trading perspective, it's different. So, with that caveat, the CPI didn't change my view. I think, the Fed has a problem on its hand. We saw a continued decrease in goods price deflation, core goods deflation. So that one that the Fed was counting on to offset above target shelter inflation, it's just not going to be there.
Right.
Shelter inflation, it wasn't changed month on, oh yeah, wasn't changed month on month. And to me, there is a question mark. The CPI shelter inflation is getting close to the market shelter inflation. So the market is an index of what you would pay if you would change home every month, right?
Like Zillow or something like that. Like who?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we're not going to see a slowdown in the disinflation in the CPI as we get closer to the market. And then the problem also is that those market-based rent indices, they don't seem very reliable. Like Zillow, for instance, they show lower rent inflation, market rent inflation than before the pandemic, which seems very counterintuitive because I think the housing shortage has gotten worse. I mean, there was less building during COVID. And now if the administration keeps deporting illegal migrants, I mean, supply is going to fall even further behind demand. So, data to be taken with a pinch of salt, to me, no change in trend. Same with
And
the.
just on that thing, that the two kind of theory, one is how silly question to ask it. How
No,
big
it's
a
not.
effect was the egg jump, huge jump in egg prices because of the fears about the avian flu? And then also the idea that I guess hotel prices were impacted by a jump in hotel prices in Los Angeles because of people being afraid of the fires for their homes.
So I love my city, Los Angeles. I really do, but I don't believe, we'd have to look at the regional weights, but I don't believe it's that big a driver. And egg prices, I think it's more psychological than statistical. In terms, I'd have to look for the exact weight, but I would think it's something like at most 10 basis points, probably below in terms of all the CPI weight. But I think that people are shocked. Now you live in London. I think UK chicken are safe, but where I am, if I go to the supermarket after 9 o'clock, there are no eggs on the shelf. And yes, prices, no, seriously. And yes, prices have gone up. And I mean, we Americans, we like our eggs. So I think this is more of
And
a
chicken. Yeah, ch chicken it, I can say as American now living in London, Chicken's not that popular here, but it's
Really?
there. Yeah, it's very popular. Obviously in America, it's I also find it pretty popular in France, but in the UK, I don't think it's that popular. It's much
Well, I
more
mean,
like beef
yeah.
or fish, maybe venison or something, but not chicken and turkey are not that popular.
It could reflect different culinary traditions.
Yes.
I mean, the French used to nickname the English the roast beef, so
Yeah, there
roast
you go.
beef. So
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. But so the eggs, it could be one of the things that contributed to the jump in inflation expectations that people are really getting. In the University of Michigan survey last week, people are really getting a bit freaked out by the lack of eggs.
Okay. Any other like important economic data points come out? Any big views on them? Obviously, we had retail sales just now.
So the big miss in retail sales, but again, seasonality. I think the underlying fundamentals, labor income, also the debt, the consumer debt, is still several percentage point below pre pandemic. I think these are strong. Also, if you look, my favorite aggregator of macro data is the Atlanta Fed GDP forecast. It's 2.9% so far. Of course, it will fall by a big chunk once it's adjusted for that release. But I see it more as noise than as anything really changing the big picture here. Other data, the tariff saga that is still ongoing. So tariff on steel, reciprocal tariffs that could have been a big deal. Actually, the president asked for a study on how to implement them. Again, not changing my view, which is that we will have an increase in tariff, but it will have to be sustainable because it will be meant to generate revenue and support a manufacturing renaissance. So that is likely to show up in the budget, and to be a very gradual and predictable increase. And then we will have tariff initiatives like we have seen. I think it's part of President Trump negotiating tactic. First, sow chaos, and then see what you can get out of it, what concessions you can get. And then, move on. So not changing my view either on this. Then we also had Chair Powell's testimony to Congress. Again, no change. I poor Chair Powell as was watching him, and I mean, what always happened in those testimonies is that the Congress people want to, show their bona fides, ideological bona fides. So usually they launch into a little speech about how bad the administration is or how good it is, depending on which side of the aisle they are. And then Chair Powell has to keep a stone face and listen. But the bottom line is no new news in the sense that, given all these unpredictable initiatives from the administration, the Fed will be in longer wait and see periods than it expected at the beginning of the year, which is also what we have heard from just about every FOMC member, whether they are doves or hawk. So I think that's the past week, more or less. This coming week, there's not too much in the data. It's more perhaps a Fed week and perhaps a President week. So on the data, we get housing start, home sales, but Residential real estate is a very small part of the US economy, so not that important. We'll get the final number of the University of Michigan Consumer Confidence, so we might get a revised 1 year inflation expectation, so less of a jump. But I just think that given how precarious, I mean, on average, households are doing extremely well, but there is a portion of household, lower income household, who are not doing that well. And I think the talk of tariff, the price of eggs are making them nervous. And I think that's why we have a jump in the UMich 1 year inflation expectations. And so even if it gets revised, I still think we will get a jump. So the Fed, we'll get the Fed minutes. And then as usual, a good complement of speakers. So for the minutes, I think they are just going to reinforce the wait and see. Fed, the Chair Powell actually described the CPI number as showing the Fed has more work to do. So of course, the minutes reflect the meeting 3 weeks before, but there is always a little tweak to the language to reflect the message that the Fed wants to get out there. So I think we'll get something along the lines, the Fed wants to see actual progress in inflation. It's still confident that inflation is going back to the 2% target. But it may need a longer wait period before it can ascertain, economic trend and decide on when it might cut. So that's a minute. Then we have among the speakers, the two that I'm really going to focus on is Vice Chair Jefferson, because he doesn't speak often, but he's talking about a really interesting topic, which is the financial health of the consumer sector. And consumption has been such a big driver of this recovery. Jefferson is a very interesting economist, so I really want to hear what he has to say. The other speakers that I will be
And is it how is he traditionally viewed as slightly more dovish or?
so he's really very aligned on Chair Powell, so he's really a medium, very, very centrist. The other speaker that I will be listening to is a centrist Fed president, Moussalem, who is more on the hawkish side, but he's also a very deep economic thinker. So I think I will gain new insights. So this is my list, really. And then, I'm sure we will have, more news on the Russia US negotiation with an impact, possibly on energy prices or market expectations of energy prices. Viresh thinks a Russia US deal on Ukraine won't make a difference for the supply of oil, but possibly for gas, depending on whether the sanctions are lifted, what the Europeans need to do. And then there have been those rumors of a grand bargain in the Middle East as well, where the we focus on Iran, basically. And there, I think there is more of a risk of increased supply. But my core view on this remains, this is a very transaction-driven administration. Getting lower energy prices is really key to everything that they want to do. Which is basically raising the real income of blue-collar Americans without raising inflation and with keeping the equity markets, to quote Treasury Secretary Bessent, doing well enough. And this is really hard to square, and squaring, I think, requires lower energy prices. We'll see, but that's where I am at for next week.
Okay. And any curveballs, anything that could surprise the markets or surprise your view, you think?
So the biggest potential for curveball, I mean, comes from our president, more I think than the data releases or the Fed. And the curveball could be foreign policy.
I guess something around Russia. I saw he was suggesting, I don't know how that would be monitored, but that the US, Russia, and China could significantly all agree to reduce their defense spending.
Well, for sure, there is scope for a reduction in conventional military spending, and that would help the budget situation of the US. I mean, that's another thing that would come up next week, but it's so complicated that the news on the
Yeah, you
budget.
could say this is we're just investing on technology, not defense, but in reality, the technology will be used for defense.
100%. That is so true. And in my view, that's what driving the manufacturing renaissance plans. Because if you look at manufacturing employment, despite all the taxpayer money, yours and mine, that has been plowed into US manufacturing, employment is flat. Why? Because this is a capital-intensive activity. Manufacturing expands, they buy more robots. So it's not going to generate
Huge demand.
high-paying jobs for non-college graduates. You need to be an engineer to work in those manufacturing plants. So in my view, that objective is about military defense capabilities.
Okay, cool. Just to quickly highlight, we updating a recent kind of view on a bullish Brazil MEX on trade ideas and emerging markets. It's had a decent move, but we still kind of like it. And iron ore, we kind of spell out all our rationale there. The kind of, relevant to our discussion, the as part of the kind of G10 FX Weekly, Ben looks at kind of the dollar bearish view he and Bilal and others have. And part of it somewhat explained by the fact that when you look at our kind of AI Fed sentiment index, it's continuing to lean fairly dovish. So even though that the most of the data has been relatively strong, maybe outside the retail sales, the you would expect the that to be increasing in kind of hawkish sentiment, and it hasn't. And that's also so one result would just be the resulting thing would be kind of lower real rates and maybe a weaker dollar, and that's somewhat what we're seeing. Also, by the way, gold is been a big beneficiary, which actually was one of our favorite trades was this gold basket, which we just Resh and the team, but we just closed yesterday. The I guess Henry Antonio Yu on the Global Rates Weekly highlighting the kind of no Fed cuts or hikes in parentheses in 2025, good rationale why. Then a bunch of stuff around the models, including kind of momentum models, carry models, where we're highlighting again what I think is kind of interesting is across the four different models, which currency pairs are getting or which currencies are getting added and subtracted. In the different models, the again we updated the PCA model, which has been supporting some positive trades, especially in Germany. Few new other trades across G10 FX, and yeah, kind of it from my side, and wish everyone a wonderful weekend, as well as you, Dominique, and
Thank you. Likewise, Andrew.
all the best. Okay, cool.